Bed Podcast, a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our stories. You tell your stories. You call in, tell us your stories. You come in and sit across from us, tell us your stories. We react and we all have a good laugh in honor of embarrassment. I am Mary Kate.
And I'm Katie.
Let's turn B red.
How was your week?
I'll tell you how my week was. In lieu of how was my week, I'm going to say straight up, the most embarrassing thing happened to me and to you at the same time. Mm-hmm. On our episode 100, we did not thank a very special human who is amazing. We did not thank Mirage Zamprioli.
Did not thank my husband.
Not only puts this show together, edits the sound, makes it sound like the dream that it is, but he's a talented musician and made our theme music, and he spends, like, there's something like when you cook with love, right? Mm-hmm. The food turns out better. And he, because of the love in his heart for not only you, Katie, his wife, but for, you know, the belief in our project, he puts hours into this. And we could not do it without him.
No, we definitely would not have a podcast without Mirage. It would be insanely expensive to have this edited. And I don't think anybody else would have the same vision for it. Like, I really do like the way that he cuts it. And it's what he does. So he's very smart, capable, and able to do it quickly. And the turnaround is fast and great. And yeah, we obviously could not do it without you. I love you. You're my husband. You know that.
I love you. You're my friend.
Yeah. And your friend. And honestly, like, yeah. So we totally, it's because Matt was right in front of us and we were just like, oh my God, Matt, we can do this without you. And like literally just got like tunnel vision for that and then just kept going on the episode. But of course, and also to your husband.
Oh, yeah. My husband, John.
Produces as well. He's a producer.
On my end, he produces. I could not do this without him.
Thank you so much, John.
Thank you, John.
All that you contribute to the podcast, we wouldn't have podcasts without you either.
Well, I want to say I'm really glad that we have partners in our lives that believe in us and that say like, go out. How can we help? Go out. How can we?
Yeah, it does take
happen?
Money to make this thing, you know.
Yeah.
And we're lucky that we're able to do it, and you know that all of you love it and watch and listen.
Yes.
And we're grateful for everybody involved.
So
honestly,
grateful.
Yeah.
Yes. So that was what I thought about all week. I was like, what are we gonna do? How do I say it? I gotta make. Let's bring him back. Is he? You know. Is he ever going to look at me the same way for not thanking him in his, like, this entirety? Like,
he had fun with the editing, episodes. And he was like, I'm kind of glad this happened because I got to do this. This was fun. And we did record two back-to-back, which is why this thank you is, that's like, delayed two episodes.
I know.
But,
so, yeah,
we did.
How was your week?
And how was your week? Things are crazy, you know? By the time, I'm like, no, not by the time this comes out. By the time the next one comes out, I'm switching my dad in memory care facilities yet again for the third time. People with dementia and Alzheimer's, we found out that he does, in fact, have Alzheimer's because he was diagnosed with dementia a few years ago, but they weren't able to pinpoint. And the doctor that I talked to said, we didn't even have this technology a few years ago. So he does, in fact, have Alzheimer's. And for the longest time, we thought it was because of a severe car accident that he was in, I think it was 96. That's why he had it earlier. But he said, no, in fact, this is just the way that it goes. So, you know, at least there's not like that regret. Like, because I did so many times think if only he wouldn't have made that turn, if only he wouldn't have gotten in that accident, if only he would have been more patient at that light, you know? And my mom, the same. So you can kind of let go of some of that and be like, look, this is the way that it was always going to go. So regardless of any other outside factors. So we do know that now. And we're moving him to a private facility where he can actually get care that is going to be, it's either it's always 2 to 5. There's only 5 people there, 5 residents. And there's
That's
two
amazing.
Caretakers, sometimes 4 caretakers to 5. So this place really cares.
So
like,
great.
I really am excited about it and feel hopeful about it for the first time in a long time. I hope my mom can get some peace of mind because she's constantly worrying about him. So while it is frustrating and annoying and crazy to make 3 moves in 6 months, I am also glad that it feels like hopefully we have found one that's going to stick and be forever. So that is the goal. And yeah, anyone, there's so many people. I mean, I talk about it every day. I'll run into someone and we'll talk about it, you know, when I'm out thrifting or whatever. And everyone has someone who's been through dementia, Alzheimer's, or, you know.
Oh, yeah.
memory issues. Like there's everyone's has a family member that's been through it. I feel like everyone I talk to, and it's such a hard thing. And my heart goes out to anyone who's dealing with this, anyone who's caretaking. They call it the caretaker's disease because it's actually like harder on the caretaker for the most part because they completely lose themselves as well. And there, I just saw a video today, like that the likelihood of developing Alzheimer's dementia, if you're caring for someone is like, I think like 17 times greater, like something crazy, you know, like
what?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. Why? Because you kind of just lose yourself in that person and then it sort of like, you know, bleeds into you and affects you as well. I don't know, but I don't know the science behind it, but it is such a tough thing to go through with a loved one. And,
of course,
you know, I'm grateful though. I'm grateful that I get to be here and I'm grateful that I moved when I did. I almost wish I moved sooner, but I'm grateful I'm here now and able to be with my family as much as possible. So yeah, that's been going on. What you're watching.
This is what family should do, in my opinion. Like I know it's hard. A lot of people can't just make the move. People can't, you know, I understand that. But what you've done is you're doing for your dad what he did for you, which is, you know, you're taking care of him at the end of his life. You know, it's like he's here and you're there too. You're right alongside. That's like the most human thing I think you can do for someone else is just to show up for them and be present and help them and help them. And he's your dad. And I mean, I get what you're saying about wishing you were there earlier. Like, you know, you did it though. You're there. Yeah. And this is a really important time. Not only are you there for him, you're there for your mom, you're there for the rest of the family. And, you know, you're fearless.
When I look at everything that we've done in, you know, almost 7 months now, it's wild. Like how much you've done. Like it all started a year ago. Like who would have thought, you know, like you're just, you know, like we talked about a couple podcasts ago, how much your life can really change in a year. And you just never know. So yeah, I'm just trying to take each day with gratitude and with as much lightness as I can. And my the way that I regulate my system is through thrifting and antiquing and vintage. So I've been I had an amazing score yesterday.
Wait, I haven't seen the reel yet. I haven't seen the reel. You just posted it, right?
Yes.
I haven't seen it.
If you are interested in vintage and antiques, you can go to my page on Instagram or TikTok. It's Candy Colored Home. And I share my finds there and my home decor and all of that. But I found this sick lamp. Like, I couldn't leave it. Like, I saw it and my jaw just dropped. I was like, what is that? It's hard to shock me because I do this so much. I walk into so many stores that, like, it's hard to shock me because I see the same things.
Though, when you've seen something and you're like, oh my God. And then you get it.
It's a lamp. And I've never seen shades like this before. And it's Murano glass, but it's by this Italian designer, and it looks like it's from a series that he did called Membrane, and it looks like jellyfish dripping down, and it's all glass, and it's frosted, and it's incredible, and it's
gorgeous.
I mean, it is. It's so weird and cool, and it's a showstopper, and I just was blown away and excited, and it is rare to, you know, I find a lot of cool stuff for sure, but it's rare for me to, like, drop my jaw at a piece and be like, oh, what is that? That is amazing!
You're like, that's mine! That's mine! I must have it!
Yeah, so that was cool.
Oh, I'm so
and that's
happy
how
for
I'm,
you.
You know, that's how I'm regulating my nervous system is secondhand shopping, and it makes me happy. It's better for the environment, and it's cheaper and better quality than what you find in big box stores. So you really can't beat it. It's really
well, and you've inspired me so much. I keep thinking that everyone who listens knows you already, like Candy Colored Home. But of course, no, we're building our audience. So go check her page out. But because what you do, it's like you're an artist too. Like you have the way that you style your clothes, the way that you style your home, it's a one of a kind art.
Oh,
like
I love you.
It really is. It's so fun and fascinating to watch. So I hope everyone goes and follows you.
You're the best. You're the absolute best. So.
You are the absolute best.
You're the best. Let's do
it. Oh my gosh.
You want to
let's
do it.
I feel like, let's get into it.
Okay. This first story is anonymous and she writes, I had just hit puberty and was on my first vacation to India. Now, in India, a girl hitting puberty is a big deal. Elders tend to fuss over you, and you're told of new rules and regulations regarding the way you behave and how you carry yourself and all that. So we'd been to this hill temple named, I'm so sorry, I'm probably going to butcher this, Tirunelli in the Western, I don't know how to say that either. Is it Ghats? G-H-A-T-S? Ghats? I don't know. Huh? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This is in India, and I'm just forgive me for my pronunciation.
No, wait, can you just wait? Say it again, but just like commit to it and don't even apologize.
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I will feel so bad. Okay, it is atop a hill, surrounded by forest, a couple of basic shops, a 2-room dormitory. They've made the place much bigger now. This was in 1994, and the nearest town is about 30 kilometers away in the valley. We booked a room in this town, kept our luggage there, and went uphill. After the customary dip in the forest stream, after performing the yearly rituals for our ancestors, we walked back to the dorm to change. I changed into a modest midi skirt and a blouse. I had embarrassingly forgotten to bring my underwear and was basically naked underneath the skirt and the petticoat. I felt something tickling down the back of my thigh, and when I looked back, I saw a big fat leech sluggishly crawling away. It looked ready to burst at the seams. I shuddered, thinking it must have been clinging onto my skirt or something. Ew.
First, we drove down to the town. Blood?
A leech?
No, it was full of blood?
Yeah, it was full of blood.
So it was biting her butt.
Well, we don't know. Let's find out.
Okay, sorry.
We drove down to the town to collect our luggage and for me to get into underwear. I was sitting on the bed waiting for my mom to come out from the bathroom. When she came out, I got up, and to my utter horror, at the place I was sitting, there was a huge blood stain the entire size of my derriere. My mother was aghast. She asked my father to leave the room. The other women huddled around and hurriedly pulled out the pure white bed sheets before it stained the mattress. Too late, I stained the mattress too.
Oh, damn.
My mother asked me if my period was due. I was so confused that all I could mutter was, I don't know. I think so. I don't know. I was so embarrassed beyond reason, mainly because I thought I had indeed gotten my period, and I was so stupid I didn't even realize it. It had just been a couple of months since my period started, and I wasn't really sure about the intervals. One of the elderly women in the group thankfully wondered if it could be a leech bite. I jumped and said I did see a leech trundling away back that dorm uphill. They all conceded that it's surely a leech bite and asked me to examine myself in the bathroom. I saw my underwear was drenched in blood. Damn.
What is happening?
Leeches inject a strong anticoagulant when they bite so that the blood flow doesn't stop when they feed. Even after they fall off drunk with blood, the effect of the anticoagulant stays for a while. If left unattended, one can even bleed to death.
Okay, now, come on.
Isn't that wild? I know leeches.
I did not know that.
Wasn't there a leech in Stand By Me?
Yes,
wasn't that the movie?
His underwear.
Where we all remember that. I know,
yeah.
It was so traumatic.
First movie I ever
this
saw,
this is
yeah.
what it's reminding me of. I was like, oh, same. That was like, we're all like, it was like quicksand. You know, we're all like in the 80s. We're like, we're going to have to deal with a lot of quicksand and
I
leeches.
Know,
like, unfortunately, for most people, it's not a problem.
Quicksand because of a never-ending story?
Atreyu, yeah.
Atreyu.
And like all the things. So it was all about quicksand in the 80s. And also yeah. like, yeah. And it, yeah, that leech, that sticks with you. The leech, ugh, out of the end of the road. Yeah. Okay. Now, the temple we went to is known to be infested with leeches. One little critter had managed to climb up on my leg and, please don't ask me how, found itself a comfortable feeding spot right outside my vajayjay.
Oh,
yep.
Come on.
Talk about...
She didn't feel that?
No, I guess not. Maybe because she's in the water and moving around. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Talk about being disgusting. Evil, and now the blood would not stop. That little vampire. The hotel staff advised us to get an injection and more medicine to stem the bleeding. We had an 8-hour drive back home. As there were no other hospitals in town, we were forced to go to a district hospital that's the only major treatment facility for the service of the tribal communities. It was a place nothing like any of the hospitals I'd ever been to. The patients were all mostly tribal and were giving us weird looks. So I was taken to an examination room, and they asked me to lie flat on my stomach and spread my legs. The nurse lifted my skirt, removed my underwear, tossed the bloodied thing into the bin, cleaned my wound, and started to apply something. It felt ticklish, but my embarrassment shadowed every other emotion. I buried my face in my arms, unable to face the humiliation. Then I heard voices.
Voices.
Men. No, not like this. I didn't dare to lift my head to see who or how many people had come into the room. Apparently, it was the senior doctor with all of his young interns who had come in for a demo.
I don't I don't understand why they do that. They have to ask permission. Like, hey, by the way, we're going to bring 16 guys in here to look at
and
your vagina.
And this is
do you mind?
A child. She's never shown it to anyone. And suddenly there's a ton of young interns and men in the room
like,
while
there's
she's
a leech up there. Like,
she's got her
so
legs spread, like everything out. It's horrible.
Terrible.
He was explaining my condition to them, showing them the wound and the treatment being administered. So basically, a bunch of 20-somethings were getting to peer closely at my privates. The wound is terribly minuscule. And they were all taking notes, probably even making a diagram of it. I wished I would just vanish into thin air right then. I remember I wept silently. To be fair, those guys were professional. They moved to the next room in 5 minutes, but I was beside myself for having exposed myself to a bunch of random men. Remember, I was still in my early teens and was still getting used to the different changes in my body. I wasn't comfortable with my curves yet. After the nurse had applied dressing to the wound, I was given a tetanus injection and allowed to leave. I didn't talk to anyone the whole way home. To this day, I don't think I've been through anything as embarrassing as that one incident. I still feel very icky about it when I think about it. I'm like, oh.
That is so embarrassing. And I just wish that there was a world where a tiny baby who's crying silently, doctors take diagrams of her vagina, could just be get up and be like, "That's it, we're out of here, get out, I'm leaving."
She's like
I'm
13,
like,
I know.
Here.
Or if her mom was, if I was in there and it was my kid, I would be like, "Get out of here!"
I would be
right
like,
now.
"That's it, a break, crack my knuckles." I'd be like, "Let's go."
But
let's
in the go. 90s, early 90s, I think it was just like, okay, like,
well, this has to help with our medical condition. Yeah. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Isn't that horrible?
Are you kidding me?
I was like, oh,
it's so embarrassing.
I hate that for her. It's so horrible.
I hate that too. I don't think I would ever forget that.
No, how could
you?
It's traumatizing.
No, it's so traumatizing. It's so crazy. Oh, man. Well, that's a good one. We've never had a leech one. Can you send us your leech stories?
I don't think we
please?
Have had a leech
let's
story,
get those
right?
Leech stories.
Yeah,
no,
there have
we
to
never
be more.
Have. I want more.
I don't know if I do. It's pretty gross. I'm like,
okay, so we have a caller today, and I am so excited about this caller because he's a really, really old friend of mine. His name is Dennis Hempel. He is not only a brilliant comic, he is a stand-up comedian, and you've got to see his stuff. He is in LA, so he does stand-up still live here, and I'm sure he can tell us when the next show is.
Amazing.
But he is also a writer, producer, actor. And I met him when we did a spoof on Twilight in 2008.
That
and
went viral. So go
it
to
went
what's
viral.
The name of it? What's the name
it's
of it? Everybody needs to go
Twilight.
Watch it. Not Twilight.
I mean, it's so stupid.
It is so funny. Like, so you stupid. Have to go watch it. It's so
but
funny.
He made me laugh so hard. And that's just how he is. So I'm going to probably laugh a lot. And he's just a goofball, but like a brilliant person. You know what I mean? He's just a brilliant person.
And I'm also petitioning for the two of you to do more videos because I need them.
Well, okay.
I really want you two to do more spoof videos because you are a really great pair, honestly.
Oh,
like
you're
very
so sweet.
Funny.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I have not seen him since 2008.
Wow.
So we're gonna call him and I'm gonna tell him, let's do this. Okay. Okay, here he comes. I'm so excited. I do not know this story either, by the way.
Oh.
I don't know what he's going to say.
Oh, amazing. Okay,
he
cool.
He hasn't told me. Oh, yeah.
All right, we both
so
have to
excited.
Be surprised.
We very rarely have that.
Yeah.
Hey, Dennis.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Hey, good. How are you? How's it? I mean, are you experiencing the heat wave at all? Feeling any of the effects of it?
Yeah, my air, it's not working right now.
Okay.
No.
So, it's pretty brutal. I got one of these guys, which doesn't do
that's
much.
That's perfect. Get that nice and close.
Yeah.
Nice and
but
close.
Do you have a bag of frozen peas you can put on your head?
I might
get,
do that.
Can you get like an ice pack?
Yeah.
In a sock?
Wrap them in
a
towel and
idea.
Put the bag of frozen peas on there. Yeah, that's what
put
I used to
do. Put some ice in a sock too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ice
Should
in a
I
sock.
Do that? You guys have such great voices.
Oh, that's
you
so
sound
sweet.
Great.
So do you.
Thank
so
you.
Do you
it's the
you
microphone.
You too. You look great. And I haven't seen you since 2008.
Thank you.
I've seen you since 2008.
Thank you.
You got a little something.
A lot of people say I haven't changed.
You haven't changed. You just got a little, maybe it's a little bit of hair. Like, right. Yeah, just a little. There you yeah. go. He looks good. There you go. I'm so sorry. You're so
thank you.
I don't see it. I don't know.
Oh, my God, guys. I'm so sorry. It's weird because I've also called them, like, my air people. The managers, they're like, we'll get someone on, and it's been like 3 weeks.
Oh, that's
well,
horrible.
It's been
you guys have this
it's been really
heat wave yeah. happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not fun.
Yeah.
Well, I just watched your Twilight and I was dying laughing. Not yeah, what is it called?
Oh. She watched Twilight. I sent her Twilight. I sent her Carl's Jr.
I did that with Mary Kate. Did she tell you?
Yes. You guys need to make more videos because you're so funny together. I'm insisting. Surprise, I'm insisting you come back together and do some more spoofs because you're good together. It's so good.
It was, yeah, it was the first viral YouTube video I ever
yeah,
made.
Yeah, really?
It was so neat. And I had no idea Mary Kate had such a acting career. Yeah. I just thought she was the coolest girl ever. And it totally worked.
Yeah.
I really did. I really did.
We used to laugh so hard. I
know. We would just make each other laugh.
Because there are people in this world that when you work with them, you get to be around them all the time. Because so we work together. And I got to be around you all the time. And I didn't realize, I had the same thing. I didn't realize I was around Comic Genius. Because, you know, you're like, you have
oh, come on. You say that. Thank you so much. You make me.
Do you remember,
you embarrass me.
Our faces turning into just red computer faces when you're talking to a guest and you turn on, you're like that's what we would see of each other a lot. And then we did that spoof and I'm sorry, it was so fun. It was one of the funnest shoots I've ever had.
Do it again. Do it. This is it.
We should spoof the Americans.
Katie, can I ask you a question? What are you doing here? Why are you here?
Why am I
knew Mary Kate was going to interview me. Are you part of this?
Oh, whatever. He knows. She's like, so
I mean, I guess
famous.
I could excuse myself, but you know, I want to hear the story because I don't know it. So I want to hear the story too.
I know. I was saying we don't know any of this anything embarrassing you're going to tell us.
Yeah.
What do you have in there? A little snack?
I'm on a huge sugar kick, and I'm so sorry.
Oh no!
I cannot stop eating sugar right now.
I ate a bunch
so
of Cadbury Mini Eggs
during all
yesterday.
This. You'll see me.
Please.
What was that?
I ate a bunch.
What was that? Kate?
I ate a bunch of Cadbury Mini Eggs yesterday. Get it?
Aww,
get
it. I need some of those. I need that. Yeah. That's so good. I'm going to be distracted for the whole story because I'm just going to want that right now. I just want that. Yeah. I just want to eat that. I'm just so happy. Do you have any shows coming up?
Yeah.
When are they
coming? I've got a show coming up.
When are you going to be on?
April 4th at Flappers.
Oh, nice.
I'm doing a lot of stand-up again, kind of getting back
Amazing.
Into it, like I was telling you.
So Flappers, April 4th.
Yeah.
Okay.
So much fun. Yeah. Do you want me to tell you a story?
Sure.
Okay. So this, I have I don't have a big, long one, but this one is the longest one I have. If you want me to tell you another one afterwards.
No, this is perfect.
But this is, it's an audition story in 1994.
I love it. I love it. We don't have very many of these. And I just love coming from an actor.
So the language I'm going to use is not mine. And it's not crazy bad or anything. But I just want you to know that well, that scares the shit out of you guys right now. No, it's not. Okay. So I should just
say
that. Okay. So in 1994, I did a lot of extra work. And, I did a lot of extra work on Saved by the Bell, the new class.
Oh, nice.
Oh my God, amazing.
And one of my favorite things to do, when I moved out in 1994 and I came in hot from Texas. I mean, came in hot. anytime I could make extras laugh, I would just do shows basically for the extras on the set while we're waiting to do a scene, you know?
Yeah, and you're waiting forever,
and,
right?
And yeah, I actually became friends with Dustin Diamond.
Oh, Screech.
Oh, this is the part that I totally forgot that I didn't even think about. So Dustin Diamond, so he was on the new class. We started hanging out and in his dressing room. And he actually was a big kung fu guy. He had $10,000 checks laid out everywhere in his room. Isn't that
Was
funny?
It for manifestation purposes or?
They were just there because he didn't spend them yet. That $10,000 checks are probably pretty big, you know, for that. And he also introduced me to electronica music.
Nice.
Kiss to the Sky.
So wait, is he hanging out in a Justin gi Diamond. Listening to electronic music? Like he's just like,
we would both put on gis. He had one. You would always have one for his guests and we would both put them on and we would kind of,
amazing.
He would teach me a little bit of karate.
Nice. And then you're just he's like, don't touch that check.
But don't touch that check, you know? He'd be like, Seth! If I tried to touch his check. That's kind of a sidebar. So, but one of the other cast members, he played the cool guy. I made him laugh a lot, you know? And he goes, dude, you should come in for this nerd part because we should get you in for something. And was the casting director at the time. And I was basically a shoo-in because Dustin kind of knew me. the cool guy, I don't know his name, the actor, but he knew me and they all were recommending, like, this guy's so funny, you know? And when I do auditions, I really go all out. So I dressed, it was a nerd part. So I had this suit, glasses, I had toilet paper shoved up my nose, yes, coming out of my shoe, like 5 feet.
Oh my God.
5 feet. So I'm walking into NBC. Five, and I'm not, none of this is an exaggeration.
You walked into the room.
5 feet
like
of toilet paper.
Okay.
Walking down. And so the toilet paper, this is an important thing to remember, it was just shoved up my nose really deep, you know? So I go into the room to audition, and it is like this, it's like a walk-in closet. I don't know why, because it was and she had done a decent amount of things back then, but anyways, very small, and she had like an assistant sitting next to her, which made the room even smaller. And it was really hot. I think it was during the summer, and I had gelled my hair so crazy, like that really hard gel. And I was already so nervous, so it was already melting a little bit and coming down and it getting into my eyes and burning my eyes.
Oh my God.
And I was so green.
You're ready to do it.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go.
You were
go.
Doing the revenge of the nerds, nerd. Did you do the tape on the
exactly.
glasses?
So imagine that and just crusted, but my nerves, and it was like very hot whenever I was auditioning. And I'm right when I walk in, just I'm already like trying to like see, I can't, you know, and it's already like that. And so I'm so bad with sides back then, like reading my lines, you know, I was just very, very green. And so I'm reading them. We read the scene. It's about 5, 8, 9 lines. And this is what she says to me. She goes, "Can I just stop you, please? I just need to stop you. Listen, we don't want gay or retarded.
What?
No.
And can you please pull that toilet paper out of your nose? Listen to this. I pull it out. And this, everyone thinks I'm exaggerating when I say this. I'm not exaggerating. I pull it out and a snot string goes from here. I swear to God, 2 feet. And snaps back
no,
either
it does
to my
not.
Nose or whatever. And I literally go, "Oh, that's embarrassing." I said that to her. And then I had to read the whole scene again. I don't even know why she didn't just tell me to leave. I read the whole scene again after. I'm not kidding.
I have PTSD though. Like this is
big of a snot.
This.
That's amazing.
You, what, how did you just like finish the scene and then like, did you just like back out of the room?
Well, I definitely thought I got it. You know what I mean?
You really did. Did you really think so? Well, you never know. You had a lot of confidence to walk with all the toilet paper behind you. You didn't care.
I
so you're like, fuck
and,
it.
You know, what I didn't learn, you know, whatever acting is, I had all that, but I didn't do the scene, you know, really think about what I was going to do. I'm just like, I'm going to go in there and be funny. It's like, no, you got to kind of understand what you're doing with the lines. So I just looked like really silly in there. But that was
Can
pretty,
I tell you that I know people who were like, who auditioned for like, they were to be like jittery. So they would just like eat a bunch of no-dos and like go in and be like,
interesting.
And then they didn't get it. But like it's anything. That's the thing about auditioning, Dennis. Do not beat yourself up because you just think, okay, this is how I look. And you don't like, you don't know what to do. They don't know what they're looking for. They don't, you know, I bet you looked fantastic. And who cares if you're playing a nerd. There's a big snot thing. That's great.
I love that you just fully relied on prop comedy. You're like, this is it. I got this.
Yes.
I don't need the lines. Prop comedy. This is all I need.
Just
look at me and give it to me.
Just like staring at you as you walk down the hall with that trail of toilet paper, like a nerdy bride.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're going to the altar, but you get turned down.
Yeah.
You're not getting married that day.
This is not like embarrassing, but just very, very quick because it's how I committed, and you guys will appreciate this. I auditioned for Scary Movie 2. Mm-hmm. Or do you want to hear like, no, I'll tell you like a funny, I'll tell you embarrassing.
No, let's hear the Scary Movie 2. Let's hear it.
It was for the paraplegic. There was a part. So I rented an electric wheelchair.
Wait, you really did?
Yes.
You did that?
Yes. And I jacked my foot up.
Like Daniel
Day-Lewis. Like this.
Why?
Like, can you see it? Like I literally had it on the armrest.
Why?
And I don't know. So I wheeled into the casting office and it was so narrow that people auditioning had to get up to let me through. And the casting
Were you
director,
in character the whole time?
Yes. Yeah, the okay. casting director came out and gave me, because they thought I really couldn't get, they gave me the thing. They handed it to me.
Your leg and, must have really
And hurt. I was literally laughing so hard, enjoying it so much. And I went into the audition and they were laughing so hard because they kind of realized it was a joke. They go, you just have to come back and see Keenan. And then so that actually, that one went well and I almost got it. Because
we almost
talking about committing and it working.
Yeah.
And committing and it just going bad. But this was years later where I understood and I actually went over the stuff, you know. But so I put both of those together. And it was really a fun experience.
Can I just ask you one small detail about
No, I gotta go. Do I click on this to close the window?
Hey, bye. So one question about the choice that you made for the paraplegic role.
Yes.
What was your game plan for the leg that you twisted behind on the wheelchair?
Like I was just really messed up, you know, and this is something I did too. And I didn't get to it, but I went to like two callbacks to Keenan and stuff. I had tied strings to my shoes and I was going to come out of my wheelchair and puppet my legs like this. Because that's only the way I could move them. Cause I can't move my legs, but I never got to that part. But anyway, it was a fun just committed, man.
Okay. Dennis, you have to get cast. Amazing. You have to get cast. If any casting directors are listening, he doesn't even need to audition. He's got the part.
It's you.
Because you are, that is commitment. That is, I told a story on here once where I walked into an audition. I had a pillow stuffed in because I was supposed to go into labor in the scene. Yeah. My pillow popped out and like hit the casting directors while I was in labor. And they were like, always good to see you, Mary Beth. And then like, it's just like, okay, bye. Like you are one of a kind.
Oh,
I
thanks.
Love you
truly.
So much.
Well, you're hilarious. Obviously, I love you, Mary Kate. And it's really nice to meet you, Katie. You guys just have a really cool energy and it works. And I've watched a couple of the episodes and I love it. And I love the name. I love the music intro. It's all so cool.
Thank
you
so much.
Thank you so much for doing this. I'm going to come to all of your
anything
shows.
Anything for you guys.
No,
yeah.
But seriously, I need you guys to make more spoof videos because you're so funny together.
I would love that.
Will you I'm going to make this happen right now. Like, I need you guys to come together. Aww. You're both so funny. You're both so talented. Like, you're great together. And the world needs spoof videos more than ever right now. Like, come on. It does. Like, they're
okay.
Let's do that.
I want to get right out the gate with the Americans. Let's spoof them. Okay.
With the
You heard it here first. You and I are going to spoof the Americans.
Okay. I will watch that show just so I get the spoof.
You got the part. I'm trying to think of like another really serious show that got all the accolades that we could spoof.
Oh, what's that one about?
Like, so inappropriate.
I didn't watch any of these shows.
I know. Well, we'll figure it out.
You'll do it.
But it looks like, is your AC back on?
Yeah, it turned back on.
Perfect.
Isn't that great? You guys are such a good,
like
you're such good energy.
Amazing.
You got my, it just clicked back on.
Because we're so cool. Well, so April 4th, at Clappers.
Flappers.
It's Clappers.
Why did I say
Clappers? It's Flappers.
I was like, what?
It's Flappers.
Flappers in Burbank, right? Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
Flappers is a comedy legend. It's amazing.
Yep, it is. Yeah. And so is Dennis
Hempel. It's a
fun show.
Yeah.
Aw. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for being here.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, we're so happy you came on. I cannot thank you. I'm going to write you a long text after this just saying thank you. Okay, love you.
Love you. Love you guys.
Nice to meet you.
Go ahead.
Bye. My next story is anonymous, and she writes, this is really embarrassing, especially since I'm noticing most submissions like these are about teen accidents. My moment happened in my 40s. This is not too long ago, so I'm going to go anonymous here. My period was always super irregular to the point that it affected my fertility. I'd get my period only a few times a year at random times. Usually it was very light and I'd get little warning that it was coming with some spotting. Well, as I have learned, as one gets older and closer to menopause, your period gets heavier. So about 5 years ago, my friends and I were day drinking at an outdoor bar. We were sitting on a foam green colored sofa set. I was having a great time drinking and chatting with my pals, both men and women. I shifted in my seat and suddenly it felt like my insides fell out.
No.
I knew what happened, but I was afraid to look. I turned to my friend and I told her what happened. She got up. I got up and she checked the back of my light blue capri pants first. Total disaster.
Oh, God.
Then I looked down at the light green cushion and noticed the spot of blood I left, about the size of a deck of cards. I was so embarrassed. We were trying to keep the rest of our group unaware of what was going on, too. She handed me a sweater to wrap around my waist to wear to the bathroom. I spilt a little beer on the cushion, then threw my napkin over it. Oops. I spilled she my just, beer. I love that.
Did you get the red ale?
She like did it all at the same time. She was like, and like threw the napkin down. Like pretty slick, right?
Yes.
And you're like, oh, I spilled my beer. We're resourceful. Bye. Gotta go.
Yeah. Bye. Gotta go.
My friend said she'd clean up my seat while I was in the bathroom. I came out a little bit later and told my husband we had to leave because I had a bad headache. My seat was perfectly clean. I was shocked. I touched base with my friend a couple of days later to thank her, and I said, how on earth did you get it that clean? She said, I just flipped the cushion over. It's not my first rodeo.
There you go.
So I want to apologize to the worker who eventually had to find that stain.
Yeah. I always want to just like quick pan to the worker being like, God damn it.
Yeah, because you know at some point, well, I mean, they're probably not like
the resolve.
Really flipping the cushions very often, like unless the next time a stain happens is when they go to flip it, see that both sides are now ruined. So
where they're like, okay, here we go. I don't know. We have a like it's like the governor running for governor, just like, here you go, here's your seat. Oh, and the governor's like, I'm not doing anything here, and they just like leave. And you just like, I don't know, get shut down.
Thank God for friends.
Shut down.
Thank God. Oh yeah,
that's
friends.
Embarrassing. These are really bad ones. These are really embarrassing ones, Katie. All right. Well, I was a little like searching wise. I was a little like low. I'm like, oh, what haven't I seen? What do I want to look for? So I searched for what's something that's really embarrassing, but everyone would say it's not if you ask them directly.
That's interesting.
So I searched for that, and then there was an answer from on Reddit from Electroelk31.
Okay,
and they write. So getting genuinely excited about organizing your closet or color coding your bookshelf and then realizing you've spent your entire Saturday doing it. Like, I'll be knee deep in reorganizing my kitchen pantry by expiration dates. And suddenly it hits me that this is what passes for fun in my life now.
Aww.
The worst part is when someone, but this is exciting for her. Like, she loves it.
Yeah.
The worst part is when someone asks what you did over the weekend and you have to decide whether to admit you spent 6 hours perfecting your sock drawer organization system or just say, not much. Everyone says stuff like, oh, that sounds productive. But you can see in their eyes, they're thinking you need to get out more.
Yeah, I agree.
Right?
I agree.
I mean, that is to me, I feel like there's an AI person that slipped out of the lab, and that's them.
No, there are a lot of people AI. Like that love to organize.
I know.
It is fun.
I wish
them.
I was one of them.
Me too.
Man, my life would be different.
If you need more tasks, you can come to my house and I will.
Hey.
I will set
you
up.
If you want to have a heart attack,
that's come right. To my house. That's right. Okay. My next story comes from Cora and Charissa Engit writes. They loaded us up on the plane, but we were delayed to take off for some reason. We had to sit on the runway for 30 minutes. I had to pee really bad. I asked my sister, who was sitting next to me, do you think I can use the bathroom right now? She said, I don't know. I went for it. As I got up and started walking to the back of the plane, I heard,
hey, please get back in your seat. Passengers are not allowed to be out of their seats at this time.
Over the intercom. I saw the flight attendant at the front of the plane speak into the intercom and yelled back at him, I really gotta use the bathroom. I just kept walking to the bathroom at the back of the plane. I love it. She just threw caution to the wind. She's like, she's like, no, sir, I will not. Now the whole plane turned around and was watching us. I heard over the intercom,
ma'am, no, you can't. Wait.
And I started walking faster. The flight attendant dropped the plane intercom and started speed walking after me. His face looked angry and his speed walk was threatening. So I got scared. Then I ran walked to the bathroom and I locked myself inside.
Oh, my God. That's so cinematic.
Anyone else would be like, oh, shit. Everyone's looking at me. He said no. I have to go back to my seat. And she's like, no, I gotta pee. Bye. She's like running down pants. The aisle and locks the door. I love it. Inside the bathroom, I started feeling really stressed out about what just happened. I sat on the toilet, but relief filled my soul. As soon as I thought about what had happened and what was waiting for me on the other side of that bathroom door, I started to get angry. I can't believe he just yelled at me about my bathroom issues over the intercom. That is so unprofessional. That is so rude. I washed my hands and I was really steaming now. I dramatically opened the slidey door with unnecessary force. The bald-headed flight attendant was standing right outside the bathroom door. He stood there with his arms crossed through my entire time in the bathroom. He opened his mouth and started to yell at me, and I pointed my finger at him stone-faced, and I said, "Don't." And he didn't. I shoved past him and made my way back to my seat where my sister sat. My sister was crying, laughing. She told me every seat around her asked what was going on while I was on the toilet. She literally just said, "I literally don't know," to all of them. Tears were streaming down her face. I started crying, laughing too, realizing how ridiculous it all was and how ridiculous I was. I guess all of the people around my sister speculated what kind of emergency or medical issue I must have to run back to the plane while the flight attendant was screaming at me over the intercom. That flight attendant had beef with me. My snacks were served without a smile.
Of course. At least they gave her some. I was going to say they probably ignored her the rest of the flight.
Isn't that funny?
That's really funny. Like, she's like, "Don't." Like, yeah, he's just waiting, like, there for his, like, he's like thinking about what he's gonna say the whole time, like, "You better get," like, and then she just said, "Don't."
I know. I love that little like beef back and forth, and she ran and locked herself in, and then as she sat in there, instead of being like, "Ooh, I should probably apologize," or whatever, she got mad.
She's like, "I'm pissed.
No, I'm pissed at you now." I know. But it worked. It's pretty great.
It worked. Yeah. I'll try that next time.
Next time you're desperate.
Feeling like I'm going to get yelled at.
Yeah. Next time you're desperate, try. Or yeah, just anybody who's about to yell at you, just get really mad and say, "Don't."
Yeah.
And they won't.
Okay. I'll try that in court right before the judge gives me my sentence.
Yeah, do
just
it.
Like, don't.
Don't nice. You say it.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is from Jackie in California, and she writes, "This is for all those who've had to untag themselves in group photos and slink away." A friend asked me to the beach for sunrise this past weekend. He was only in town for a day, and we'd been friends for a long time, and a bunch of other people were going to be there too, and I said yes. I have a newborn, so I pumped milk for her and handed her to my husband and set off to the beach for the sunrise with my friends from when we were young. I had torn myself from bed and thrown on my favorite sweatshirt, and my hair, well, I hadn't washed it. Did I mention I was sleep deprived? Anyway, I rambled all the way to the beach listening to songs our group had listened to when we were 22 in college.
Aw.
I know. I got there and a blast was had by all. We reminisced and laughed and watched the sunrise. For a brief instant, I felt young again, and I said that out loud as we were all raised our beers. Because we were drinking. Yes, we were all drinking a beer. One of our friends has become a professional photographer and he wanted to take a group shot. So we all pose happily and I think nothing of it. Until I see his post hours later as I'm home in my usual sweats, breastfeeding and scrolling. It was a picture of all of us. Sun rising behind us, smiles on our faces. And then I see this middle-aged crazy man in our picture. His hair is sticking up. His face is bloated and his eyes have disappeared in the squinting he's doing. I think, do we get photobombed? No. No, we did not. That disheveled man was me. What I look like that day. Captured on Instagram for all to see. Just a complete mess. Bloated face, fogged up glasses behind which there are no eyes to speak of. My cell phone was in my hoodie, so it just protruded out, making me look pregnant. The angle was weird. The shot was from the ground. And for some reason, I was towering above everyone else, belly sticking out in front of some of my friends' faces. I understand posting it. I do. It's a fond memory. But I had to untag myself and slink away.
Oh, I hate when people tag you into horrible photos. God. I'm like, you're the only person that looks good. I don't do that. Like, it's not right. And you should always ask the person. Like, no. The ones you see.
Yes, you do.
I'd be untagging too, girl. I think you should ask, be like, "Do you like this photo? Is this okay for me to post?" Because I would have been like, No.
Yeah. No. I'd be like, let me just Photoshop myself out of it
and then go for it.
There should be a way. There should be a way. There is a way, right? You can just Photoshop someone out of a picture.
Yeah. Wow. Now it's it's really, really easy. But
yeah, I just think, I mean, it's so sad that you have to actually have some vanity in, you know, vanity seeps into everything now, right? Because, I mean, everyone can capture any moment of your life whenever you're not expecting it.
Yeah, but if it really doesn't look like you and you know it's a bad photo, it's like, come on. Yeah, I get it.
Or you pay someone to brush, yeah. Put some new hair in there, get some eyes.
We've all been there. We've all been there.
We've done it.
Okay, my last story comes from Quora, and Dina writes, a friend wanted to set me up on a date with a guy who was friends with her husband. I told her I didn't care for blind dates, but I figured, what the heck, can't hurt to go out for dinner. She invited me to a barbecue to introduce us and see if he was someone I might be interested in. He did seem very nice. About an hour into meeting him, he asked if I'd be interested in a dinner date the next weekend. I accepted. By the end of the barbecue, I was regretting accepting the date. After 4.5 hours of listening to him talk about himself, I was not keen on going through that again. I thought maybe he was just nervous about meeting someone new, and that might be why he talked about himself so much. But there was a huge separate red flag. During his four-hour biography about his interests, experiences, exes, his job, he's burned out on, favorite color, hatred of animals, ginormous
hatred
red flag.
Hatred of animals.
Love animals. He would stop once in a while and ask me a question about me. Before I could even finish the first word of my answer, he cut me off with another story about him.
That is so boring.
The next Saturday, I met up with him at the place he chose for our date, PT's Pub. It was very busy for them that night at that location, and a table wait was 20 to 30 minutes. He suggested we sit at the bar for a drink. Now, here in Las Vegas, at most pubs or lounges, there are video poker slot machines set into the bar. I put a $5 bill in, and on the second hand, I got four aces for a 25 cent times five coins. That's $200. He was talking and playing a little. I'm the type that will cash out and just take my winnings. I don't like to waste my luck by chasing a bigger win. Anyway, I had to go to the restroom, so I alerted the bartender that I'd cash out after I got back from the restroom. When I returned, my machine had been already cashed out and there was $50 sitting on my machine. I called the bartender over and told him I said I'd get cash when I got out of the restroom, and it was $200, not $50. He pointed at my date and rolled his eyes. I looked over at him and said, I said I would cash out when I got back. What? Why did you do that? And where's the rest of my money? I played my own $5, not yours. He said, well, I'm buying dinner and I thought you'd want to pay me back.
Oh, God. Gross.
Oh, my God. I was pissed. I said, this is PT's Pub. The most expensive thing on the menu is $25. And no, you're not paying for dinner because apparently I am. I'll pay for my own, but I'm not paying for you. Give me my $150 now. What even made you think it was okay to cash my machine out and take $150 of my wins? Give it back to me now. We're done. He slapped the money down on the bar and walked out. I stayed for a while since I didn't know him and what he was capable of. So I had dinner by myself and a drink with the bartender, which I paid for, and tipped him. The bartender said he'd been seeing a lot of strange things happening for a while and figured dating had become stupid and he was glad he was married.
Oh, you're like, well, thanks for that. Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Rub some salt in the wounds.
Tip back. Yeah.
I confirmed the weird dating mindset, then said, I wished my husband was still alive and I wasn't going on any more dates ever again. And I haven't.
Oh, God.
I just can't understand what makes a person think they're entitled to $150 of another person's money who's a virtual stranger when the initial money played didn't even come from their pocket in the first place. So weird.
I have got some advice for her. They're not entitled for it to it.
Yeah.
She did the right thing. I mean, that's so
but I
crazy.
Love like I feel like a lot of people, and definitely younger me, probably would have been like, okay, that's weird, that's awkward, but I probably wouldn't have been like, give it to me right now, you son of a bitch. You know, like,
yeah,
me
yeah.
today would, but like back then I feel like I'd be like, okay, like that's weird, you know?
Like, oh, I just got robbed. That's weird.
Yeah. Like, so shitty,
just
right?
Got, yeah, robbed.
Yeah.
Like, you earn this money, and the person just cashes you out and takes a 3/4 of it. And it's like, well, I need to pay my bills, apparently. That's just, oh man, I'm not, dating is, seems like it, there's so many dating stories that are so hard, but they're funny, you know?
Yeah, we love dating stories. Please continue to share your dating stories because they are our favorite. Yeah.
They are our favorite. Oh,
I'm glad she got her money back.
I know, me too. I'm glad she spoke up. Man, she just thinks you could rob. People are just walking into dates thinking they can rob their date. Okay, this is my last story. This is from Tim from Nashua, New Hampshire. And he writes, "The day I got my driver's license was a high point of my life in high school. And the day after I got my license was a complete low point of my high school. I was one of the first among my friend group to successfully pass my driving test and get that hallowed piece of paper, the temporary license. I passed the test with flying colors. My mom had taught me how to drive and was supremely confident in my abilities. So when I asked if I could drive myself to school the day after my grand success, she said yes. So I jumped into our 99 Ford Explorer that morning, ready to show the world I was an adult. The drive to school was completely uneventful, aside from a quick stop at 7-Eleven to get a coffee and some candy for later. I pulled onto campus and found a great parking spot in the staff lot. I was running late due to my snack stop. I figured it was late and the spot was open, so no one would be using it. Off I went to class and enjoyed my day at school, excited to know that I would be driving home from school later on, and I'd be the envy of all my friends. I'd even offered to drive my friend Mark home." So funny. "At the end of the day, Mark and I walked out of school and into the staff lot, and there, next to my car, was the principal. He gave me a really stern talking to and said that if I parked there again, he'd have my car towed." Okay, cool. Crisis averted. Mark and I got in the car. I turned the key in the ignition and began to back out. I notice as I am backing out, the principal is still staring at me. I look back at him, feeling a bit guilty, I guess, and bam, I slammed right into the car behind me. Did you think she hit his principal? I was so startled that I threw the car into drive, I guess thinking I would pull back into the spot I had just parked in. But my hand slipped off the steering wheel and bam, I slammed into another car in a spot right next to me.
Oh no.
The first car I hit belonged to my biology teacher, but the second car I hit was the principal's.
Oh no.
He was livid. He had me follow him to his office. I had to call my mom and explain what happened. My mom stripped me of my driving privileges.
Oh,
I had
to get the next
day. Job. Yeah, done. No longer driving. And he had to get an after-school job to help him pay for the repairs and increase insurance. Of course, word got around the school. And for the remainder of the high school year, I had a new nickname, which was Crash.
Oh, but I feel like maybe he was a legend for hitting the biology teacher and the principal there.
They're like, this dude's going nowhere.
Damn. Well, the highs are high and the lows are low.
It's a roller coaster.
And that's our show.
That's our show.
We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend. Oh, yeah. Toby, I'll tell you too. Can you hear him in the background? Rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beat red, you can email us at beatredpodcast@gmail.com.
And once again, thank you, Mirage, for an amazing, amazing podcast
thank you, babe.
That you are just creating. And if you want to buy us a coffee, not you, Mirage, but if anyone else wants to buy us a coffee, they can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join us. See you next week.